I'm not going to get going into psychiatry. But I've taught many times that the subconscious mind is the heart. Are we on, Ted? Rolling? And so we want to, and we've done this before, but I want to look into it a little bit more because sometimes we need to go over these things, and I give you the notes so that you can take it home and study it and think about it. I got this information. This is right off the internet of what the subconscious mind really is and how it works. And so every place you see subconscious mind, you can write in heart. And this is how your heart works, where your life flows out of. And so it gives us a better understanding and more awareness of it. And because of the way it works, you will see the scriptures that we're going to read today are all things that we need to understand and put into practice because of the way we are created and the way our hearts work. And so they are literally words of life. The Word of God is food for your spirit. The Word of God sown into the heart and meditated on and in good soil and through perseverance produces a crop, produces fruit. And it's the fruit of the Spirit that is produced, which is the very character of Jesus himself. Wow, what a powerhouse we have in us, in our born-again spirits, as we were saying last week and teaching on that. So let's just read a few things here, and then we'll look at some scriptures. Your subconscious mind or your heart is like a huge memory bank. Its capacity is virtually unlimited. It permanently stores everything that ever happens to you. By the time you reach age of 21, you have already permanently stored more than 100 times the contents of the entire Encyclopedia Britannica. Now, some young people don't know what that means, but we know what that means. Under hypnosis, older people can often remember with perfect clarity events from 50 years before. Your unconscious memory is virtually perfect because it's all stored up in your heart. It is your conscious recall that is suspect. The function of your subconscious mind is to store and retrieve data. It is really amazing that thoughts and memories can get stored up. And sometimes, you know, you can't, maybe you're watching a movie and you see a person, you can't remember your name. And you sit there and you think and think, it's on the tip of your tongue, it's right there, but you can't remember it. And then all of a sudden, because you're straining to try to remember, it pops up, right? But that information, our minds and our hearts really are like computers. I mean, it's stored up in there, and then it is released. I mean, it's just so amazing. The function of your subconscious mind or your heart is to store and retrieve data. Its job is to ensure that you respond exactly the way you are programmed. See, they even talk about it as being programmed like a computer. Your subconscious mind or your heart makes everything you say and do fit a pattern consistent with your self-concept or your master program. Ted, could you put that diagram up for us? So you know yourself as you are, and you act a certain way, you think a certain way, you have certain habits. Well, that's because of your master program. Whatever happened to you in life, how you were raised, whatever influences, it all affected our character and who we are today. But no matter how you grew up or how you were affected, that can all change through Jesus Christ, through a new identity. But we have that, all this stuff is what we're programmed by, and then how we reacted to circumstances and situations because of how strong these things were, that's all programmed into your heart. And so then our heart just reacts the same way every time. So if we have a lot of rejection, we've never dealt with it or didn't know how, then when somebody says something negative, that rejection in our heart automatically rises up. And it causes us to have a strong emotion of hurt, and then the rebellion kicks in, or the pride and anger comes, and then we tell the person off, or whatever. And we get into a habit of that, and that habit becomes part of our character, all right? So that's, we're getting down to the very nitty-gritty of how life works and how our hearts work and how to change that. So no matter, when we teach the heart seminar, we say every child that born into the world has a spiritual heart, and every child needs a proper love and discipline from a father and a mother to have a normal, balanced input and life. And then, but if children are, a lot of times, children can be mean. A lot of times at school, they always picked on the poor kids or this kid or that kid and just taunted them and harassed them. And these poor kids just had to take in all that rejection. They couldn't fight back. It was just terrible. I always befriended those people when I was going to school because I felt bad for them. I always went for the underdog and helped them. And if some big kid was beating on a smaller kid, I'd go challenge the big kid. Don't you pick on them. They don't, it's not right. See, I was born again when I was 7 years old, so I just automatically did these things. I didn't know, you know, what was going on. I was just the way I was, and that's the way I responded. But so we're programmed a certain way, and your heart, it doesn't think, it doesn't reason, it just automatically responds. But with all these programs, it tries its best to keep you within that element. It knows all your thought patterns. It knows they all come from there, all your attitudes, all your perceptions, all your reactions, and it just reacts the same way because it has found a comfort zone. All your comfort zones are there in relation to what you went through in life. And so it just tries to keep you there because it's protecting itself. It's protecting you, your character. That's how the heart works. Isn't that amazing how God has created us? I don't know how they think this should just come through evolution, you know. But anyways. So your subconscious mind or your heart is subjective. In other words, it does not think or reason independently. It just reacts because of everything that's in it. It merely obeys the commands it receives from your conscious mind. The mind controlled by the flesh is death. The mind controlled by the spirit is life and peace. Be you transformed by renewing your mind. We can tell our heart what we're going to do. And then we have to do it. But we have to be definite about it. And, you know, it's just, we have to be retrained to live this new life. So every Sunday morning when I had to get up to speak and fear would rise up, I said, shut up, heart. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Get lost, devil. Jesus is my source. He's called me. He's going to enable me. And I forced myself to get up and speak, even though all the fear and everything was there. See, with my conscious mind, I spoke out the words in faith, and then I did it. And slowly I got stronger, and the fear got weaker. Now you guys don't scare me anymore. But you can imagine coming out of a bar room and pastoring people who've been going to church for 40 years, and I'd never been in church and never read the Bible. That was a scary proposition. But just understanding how it works in faith and then just doing it. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, it's got nothing to do with feelings. It's got to do with faith. All right? Just as your conscious mind can be thought of as the gardener planting seeds, your subconscious mind can be thought of as the garden or fertile soil in which the seeds germinate and grow. That's the same as Jesus teaching on the parable of the sower sowing the seed. So all these things is how our heart works because it is the subconscious mind. Let's look at Romans 12. We'll start at verse 1. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices to God. Don't follow the flesh. Your body has got a sin principle in it, but now with your mind, you're offering it as a living sacrifice to God. My body belongs to you, Lord. I'm your hands, I'm your mouth, I'm your feet. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is spirituality. This is a spiritual act of worship God. Lord, I worship you. I dedicate my body to live for you. I want you to be in charge of my body. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. See, we are conformed by the world system, the world's way, whatever we've gotten into, whatever, however the devil deceived us and the desires that we had and the things that we wanted. And if we want something, our heart will take all of the programs that it has and find a way to get it. Let me show you an example of this. How many of you have prayed and believed God for something and then figured out how it should come? And it always different than how you figured it out? Well, that's your heart doing it. It's finding a way for you to get. Now, God will have me meet this and this person, and they'll do this and this for me, and this and that and that, and it'll happen like this. That's your heart. It's very creative, but it's working with what information that it has to get what you want, but then God always does it differently. Our ministry turned out totally different than what I thought it was going to be. And it's our heart is amazing that it can just automatically works this way. It's not our mind. These things come from our heart where everything is stored up. We'll talk about that in a moment. Let's just read on here. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transformed is metamorphosis. It's the changing of a caterpillar to a butterfly. So we're supposed to be totally changed into the character of Jesus by renewing our mind. So here it is very important how we think. Think about heavenly things. Think about Jesus. Think about his life. Think about the power that you have within you. Think about if you're upset with someone and you start thinking about them, what happens? All of this stuff will rise up in your heart, and then you see yourself talking to that person and they said something mean to you, and your heart is reacting to that, even though they are not there. This could be in the middle of the night. And then in your own heart, your thoughts come, well, I'll tell him this, and I'll tell him that, and I'll show him, and I'll do this. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? That's all coming from you. See, your heart is reacting to a circumstance and situation that isn't even there. And what you should be thinking about, when I meet that person, I'm just going to smile, I'm going to love them, and I'm going to pray for them. See, that's renewing your mind to thinking God's way, the kingdom way. But if you don't do that, if you just keep thinking that way, the other way, then that just strengthens your programs. And we really have to train our hearts to change by the word of God and by faith. But see, we know what we have in Christ. We know the new creation. We know that we have his nature in us, that he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. As I've said many times, we just have to live it. So as we force ourselves to live it by faith, the changes come in our hearts. But it's repetitive, loving people, repetitively having grace and mercy towards them instead of judgment and criticism. And controlling your thought life. The Amplified says someplace, why do you entertain evil thoughts? See, when you entertain evil thoughts, you become an entertainment center for demons. Because all those negative things will come and the devil will just stir that up, or he'll get you going that way. I remember Jill used to say when she was working at Zears that she sees somebody walking by and she say, oh boy, here comes an entertainment center. See, I say these things this way so that it sort of, you remember them, because you don't want to be an entertainment center for the devil, right? You got to think on godly things. Think on things above, as the Bible says. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you think a certain way, then eventually you will act that way and your emotions will change. But just understanding the Word of God and not acting on it, that's why James says, be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only, thereby deceiving yourself. Because you have all this spiritual knowledge and you get puffed up thinking you're smart, but if you're not living it, you think you're spiritual because of the knowledge, the revelation you've received, but if you're not living it, you're deceiving yourself, thinking you're spiritual, and you're not. Because spirituality is turning into the character of Jesus Christ. You can see how all the scriptures in the Bible fit in with this concept of the heart or the subconscious mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Why? Because you're becoming more like him and you can see more clearly. He who hates his brother is still in darkness, and the love of God is not in him. So it comes back to just live it. Well, it's too hard. It's the only way, and it's the way for every Christian on the face of this earth. And nothing is beyond you. It's only too hard because you think it is. But if you will start doing it by faith, now you're cooperating with the Holy Spirit, spending time in the Word, and that Word is coming alive in your heart, and that righteous nature in your born-again spirit is interacting with that Word, and it causes a desire to live the Word. Psalm 119 is so good about that. I meditate on your precepts. I desire to fill your law. You can see the changes in your life from before you were born again and really got to know all of this and the Lord to the way you are now. And that's been the Holy Spirit working in your life, and you've had to discipline yourself to change. Let's look at Luke chapter 8. Today I'm sort of putting scriptures together with what we said before, but some of this stuff, I think you should take these sheets home and really think about it and think about your own heart and your own life, and the Holy Spirit will start to show you some of the strongholds. So that's scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I think 3 and 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to God, to pulling down the strongholds. Strongholds are strong thought patterns, which have formed bad habits and so forth. But we can pull them down through spiritual weapons. The authority of the name of Jesus, the Word of God, all of these things are our spiritual weapons to fight this spiritual battle and to do this spiritual warfare that we have. See, everything in the Bible ties together. Where do they take you? Luke chapter 8. I better get over there then. I think the more information we have about how everything works, how God has created us, the better that we can cooperate, because we start to realize if we're thinking wrong and we're feeling wrong, well, wait a minute. Now I'm letting the devil have his way with me. I'm in the entertainment center. No, I got to start thinking this way. And when I think of that person that I'm upset with, first of all, I'm going to forgive them and pray for them until I'm not upset anymore. And when I meet them, I'm going to think about loving them, being nice to them, buying them a coffee. This is what I'll do. I'll ask them if I can wash their car. See, we got to start thinking that way, and then we'll start acting that way, because now you're in line with that new life that's in you. Otherwise, you're still living the old life. And Jesus said, we got to die to this if we want that. You can't have both. Because then we're schizophrenic Christians. Up and down, back and forth. On the fence, off the fence. Wrong side of the fence. Luke 8, the parable of the sower. Let's start in verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. These are someone who has a hard heart and can't receive the word because of the hardness of their heart. We can change the soil is the heart of man. We can change the soil. We can cultivate the soil through repenting, fasting, prayer, all of these things. Meditation in the word of God. The goodness of God brings repentance, experiencing God in our lives so that we want to live for him. And the wonderful thing is that it all becomes a personal relationship. Some fell on the rock. When it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. There is no depth of character so that the word of God couldn't grow. They weren't serious. They didn't fully get committed to God. They said they were, but they really weren't. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. The thorns are the worries and the cares of life, and we're allowing them to affect us too much instead of living by faith and living this new life and seeing the blessings start to come and overtake us eventually as we keep living that way all of our life. Still, other seed fell on good soil. You're all good soil because you're here this morning. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sowing. Another translation said 30, 60, 90, 100-fold. When he said this, so here Jesus is really teaching us how the subconscious mind works. It's so amazing. Jesus gets right down to the root of the problem, the heart or the subconscious mind. And as psychiatrists have learned through counseling and study, that it's the subconscious mind that really controls the conscious mind. So Jesus is saying, change your heart. Jesus always kept talking about the heart. The heart is the storehouse of good and evil. Change your heart. Purify your hearts. I pray that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Your soul flows out of your heart. When he said this, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, we all got ears. But are we all able to hear? See, that again is, are we humble? God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Every revelation you receive is by the Spirit of God and a humble heart and wanting to. Being hungry for God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Just wanting to do the right thing. See, that gets our heart in a proper condition and our attitude in a proper condition that we can receive from God. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand. See, he's speaking in parables, so a lot of them aren't really getting it. And even Christians aren't really getting it unless they're hungry to learn more. And Jesus also said, to him who has, even more will be given. So the more that you apply this to your life, the more you become like Jesus, the more hungry you get to know him and experience him, you're given more. But he who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. In other words, if you haven't done that and you don't want to do that, you're going to go the other direction and get farther and farther removed from God. And so you have to realize, well, you know, I read the word for half an hour today and I didn't get anything out of it. Was your heart hungry to try and learn something, or were you just thinking about all the stuff that happened to you last week and you're in a lousy mood and you read the Bible just out of legalism to say you read your Bible? See, all those problems that we have, Jesus will look after that if we'll give him some time. I know how he feels. I only get you guys for an hour a week, and the rest of the time you got the world and everything else out there clanging away at you. So he goes on to teach about the parable. Verse 14, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life, worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. It's so amazing, this parable of farming, sowing and reaping, that Jesus is explaining the whole concept of life, spiritual life, eternity, and the heart of man, the subconscious mind, in this parable. See, if psychiatrists had read the Bible, they wouldn't have called it the subconscious mind. They would have called it the heart. And then they even argue about about the subconscious mind. They say it shouldn't be called the subconscious mind because then it seems like we have two minds, the conscious mind and the subconscious. It should be called the unconscious mind. They even argue about the terms. No, it should be called the heart. You're both wrong. You're all wrong. Verse 15, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and a good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. By persevering. Why do we have to persevere? Because it takes time to change what's in here, the program. I had to get rid of my anger. I had to constantly love everybody who was ticking me off, instead of beating them over the head with a 2x4. And I had to keep doing it. But gradually, I mellowed out a little bit. And Kathy was so grateful. She said I changed so much in 3 months, she didn't recognize me. I thought it would have been easier to pastor the way I used to live and take the 2x4. And but it's not the grace and the mercy of God, is it? If we're... You know, you think about people and you can be, well, that person is this or that person is that. You can have a critical attitude towards them. And then you start criticizing them with others. And it's a spirit of criticism. And you're setting yourself above them and judging them and criticizing them. So you got to start thinking about, yeah, that person has problems, but so do I. We're in the same boat. We both got to grow, and I'm going to start talking positive about that person, because that critical spirit is just getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and it comes from pride that you're better than the other person, and so then you have no grace, no mercy, because you're always criticizing, and pride sets up a high standard. That's what the Pharisees did. And they just added law to law because they were faultless at keeping the law, so they just added more laws. And Jesus said, you don't live better than the Pharisees do. You're not going to enter the kingdom. Wow. Just some of the things Jesus said, just phenomenal in the face of all of this, in the light of all of this. All right. Then on 16, he says, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. So don't hide your light. Let your light shine. Don't worry about what people say about you or what they do. It's another opportunity to grow. My whole family, Kathy's family, thought I'd lost my mind, that I was going to take my wife, my kids, sell the farm and go into the ministry. I couldn't let that bother me because Jesus told me to do it, so I did it. He called me, and so I went. I knew they couldn't understand it, so I wasn't mad at them, wasn't upset with them. I just kept going. And 30 years later, now they show me some respect. He kept at it for 30 years. This thing must be real. When I go to my family's place, they ask me to say grace before eating. They never say it. So those are good signs. And slowly, as I love them, I get to witness. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. That's about listening. Be careful how you listen. Once you get an attitude that, oh, I know this, so I don't have to read it, or I don't have to listen to the pastor and he's teaching. How you listen, if you're really willing to learn, no matter who is speaking, you can learn, because the Holy Spirit is your teacher. I know a lot of stuff, but every time I hear somebody speak, it just reinforces and brings an excitement to me, because it's the Word of God. And it's reinforcing what I already believe and causing me to have a deeper awareness of it, a deeper revelation of it. When I read the Word, it comes alive to me, and I'm excited about it, because when I teach, I can just go and go and go, but my body can't take it anymore. But the anointing is there to teach, and it just comes out and comes out and comes out. You get on a high just teaching, because you're teaching the Word of God. And so consider carefully how you listen. And another thing Jesus said, with whatever measure you meet, so shall be measured to you. See, it's the way the kingdom operates, but he's really telling us how our heart works, is what he's saying. He's telling us how our subconscious mind works, but he doesn't use the word subconscious, because God called it the heart. He created us. So in your heart of hearts, always be eager to do good. Always be eager to learn more truth. Always be eager to refresh what you've already learned to make it more solid. I teach the same things I did 33 years ago, but my character has changed in those years. Everything has become more real. I'm resting more in Christ. I'm more confident in who he is in my life. All of those things, because all of those things have become more real as I've been living this. So your conscious mind commands and your subconscious mind, or your heart, obeys. Your heart is an unquestioning servant that works day and night to make your behavior fit a pattern consistent with your emotional thoughts, hopes, and desires. Wow. It works day and night to make your behavior fit a pattern consistent with your emotional thoughts, hopes, and desires. To explain that, if we have a lot of problems here, we have certain attitudes and certain ways of reacting to certain things because of our emotional problems, and our heart is always working day and night so that we will react according to what's in our hearts and behave according to what's in our hearts constantly. It doesn't just let us do whatever we want. We have to force it to do a certain thing, all right? And that's why the kingdom of God is as a seed, and it grows gradually. And through persevering, all right, in spite of all of this, I know I have to love my enemy, so I'm going to do it because I love Jesus. That's the only reason. And my faith is in him. I gave him my life. I was water baptized. Commitment of a pure conscience before God. And so I'm going to keep my word. And this is how I enter the covenant and keep my part of the covenant. Your heart grows either flowers or weeds. Your subconscious mind grows either flowers or weeds in the garden of your life. Whichever you plant, by the mental equivalence you create. Your heart is soil, Jesus said. Your heart is a garden. What are you growing? What kind of a world? It's so amazing, because through the Word of God and the life of God in us, and the help of the Holy Spirit, we can create our own world around us. Well, we are creating it. Where we learn to rest in him, pray and trust him, and persevere, always keep living his character, and our life gets sweeter and sweeter. We're changed from glory to glory. And your relationship with your kids, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with family, your business, everything changes because your heart is changing. The way you react, the way you think, the way you do business, everything changes. And if you do business God's way, the blessings will come. Wow. See, the self-help gurus have come to understand through psychiatry how the subconscious mind works. So they just send you another program on a CD with a subliminal message that your mind can't refuse. It passes your mind and goes right into your subconscious mind or right into your heart to make you more positive so that you can be more successful. But what they're doing, and even psychiatrists, is helping you to become better within yourself, and you have less need for God because now you're doing it. See, most people wouldn't even have a desire to change if it wasn't for having met Jesus. So they have a CD where you hear the waves of the ocean, and then there's a subliminal message that your spirit or your subconscious mind is picking up, and it's going into your heart. And then it's all about thinking and positive thoughts. See, they understand how all this works, but they don't know Jesus. See, they've outsmarted themselves. The wisdom of the wise is foolishness to God. I've bettered my life by doing this and doing that. You still don't know Jesus. Doesn't pay for your sins. The mental equivalence you create. So the mind is a very important thing. The mind controlled by the flesh is death. The mind controlled by the spirit is life and peace. And, you know, your heart thinks a certain way because of what's in it. So then you want to start thinking differently, but your heart doesn't want you to think differently because it doesn't have that program. And so we think in our mind, well, these are just thoughts. They're not going to affect me one way or the other. I can deal with that. No, gradually over a period of time, those thoughts will wear you down and you'll start to give in to them. Your emotions will change. And this is why people fall into a spiritual rut or lose their first love, because they're not spending enough time in the Word and living the Word and wanting to become like Jesus. So your subconscious mind or your heart has what is called a homeostatic impulse. It keeps your body temperature at 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit, just as it keeps your breathing regularly and keeps your heart beating at a certain rate. Now, I believe this comes from our spirit, because the body without the spirit is dead. As my brother one time asked a doctor, his heartbeat would get so low it would stop and he'd pass out and they'd have to rush him to the hospital. And so this happened 3 or 4 times, and if he's driving a car, he could feel it come on, so he'd pull over. But he asked the doctor, the doctor said, well, your heart stops is what's the problem, and then it gets going again. So my brother said, well, what gets it going? The doctor says, I don't know. But his spirit is still there. And, you know, if you remove your spirit from your body, though all your parts are there, your heart's not going to beat. See, God breathed life into that hunk of clay. So I believe that electrical impulse that keeps our heart beating comes from our spirit. And when you get a revelation, you get so excited, your spirit comes so alive. I think that's where I get all this energy to just keep on teaching and teaching and teaching, because it comes from my spirit. And the principle here also, as it says in Romans, if we have the Spirit of God in us, he will also quicken our mortal bodies. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Why? Because a heart that's at peace and merry, that life that's in our spirit can flow through our heart, through our soul, and into our body. But if we're negative, always complaining and belly aching, how can the life of God flow? because we're putting up a wall of resistance with our thinking. Just as it keeps you breathing regularly and keeps your heart beating at a certain rate, through your autonomic nervous system, it maintains a balance among the hundreds of chemicals in your billions of cells so that your entire physical machine functions in a complete harmony most of the time. Isn't that amazing? The chemicals and the cells that we have. And so in our brain, there's a hypothalamus gland which releases chemicals. And when something is out of whack, if we have a lot of rejection, it will release a chemical to try and offset the rejection that we're going through. But see, there's no chemical in there. God did not create us with a chemical to offset rejection because there was never supposed to be rejection. You see? So it's just positive chemicals that are released in a positive way to keep everything flowing right and working right. So what happens when people go see a psychiatrist and they have all these problems and depression, they give them what? A chemical to make them better. But it never changes their heart. But when they came to us, we would do the prayer of deliverance. We would get them in the Word and heal them of their emotional problems, the Lord would, through prayer. And we'd give them homework to do. And then they never had to go back and get any more chemicals. But see, doctors can't do that because everything is the subconscious mind. And they don't understand that in relation to the Bible and what Jesus says. And some of them are Christians and still don't understand it. Or they don't know how to teach it in such a way that the people can get it. And they don't. And it, basically, it's they tell them, well, just do this. And the person will do that for 6 months. And then they'll have a relapse and go right back to where they were. Because the problem is still there. See, with Jesus and the Word of God, we change our behavioral patterns, changes our heart, and then we stay fixed. I used to be an alcoholic, but I don't have to go to any alcoholic meetings. I'm not an alcoholic anymore. Jesus set me free. I could have a glass of wine, and I don't need another one. Don't even want another one. I'd get too dizzy if I had two. It's been so long since I had any. But the alcoholic who doesn't know Christ goes to the meetings and he can never take another drink. Because he hasn't got rid of the problem yet. Even though he believes in a higher power, whatever that means. Your subconscious mind also practices homeostasis in your mental realm by keeping you thinking and acting in a manner consistent with what you have done and said in the past. See, your heart will keep you thinking the same way until you change your heart, change the program. All your habits of thinking and acting are stored up in your heart or your subconscious mind. It has memorized all your comfort zones and it works to keep you in them. Because this is what's in you, along with everything else that might be there, or all the problems of the past. This is why in counseling we go through a person's past life to find out what is there so that we know what to deal with. We know, and then we know how to deal with it with the Word of God and the powerful name of Jesus, deliverance, whatever they need. And then we give them homework to do so that we put some new seeds into their heart and give them instructions to meditate on them. Read them over every day, 5 times a day, 10 times a day, how long? Until you change. And then the Holy Spirit, the grace of God, is released in their lives because they're confessing the Word, they're speaking the Word, they're building faith, and God is working in them. And so the homeostasis principle is that whatever is in your heart, it's going to keep you that way until you force it to change, until you die to self, take up your cross daily, and live this new life that Jesus has given you by faith. I was crucified with Christ, and I no longer live the life I live now. I live by faith in the Son of God. all these scriptures line up with what they say about the subconscious mind, which is really the heart of man. So the homeostasis principle in God's heart is love, sacrificial love. He is love. He has mercy, but he is love. He is slow to anger. Why? Because the main principle of his heart is sacrificial love. That's what causes him to be slow to anger. He's full of mercy. Why? Because the main principle of his whole being is sacrificial love. That doesn't mean he doesn't discipline us. That we have to understand the goodness and the severity of God. There's times where he's wiped the world out because the thoughts of their heart were only wicked and evil all the time. He's also a God of justice and righteousness, but he is always forbearing and full of mercy and grace, that we can always come back to him. Problem is, if we get too far away and keep going and don't want to come back, but he's always there. And so let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. Well, let's do Colossians chapter 3. Actually, I know what's wrong. I'm in Philippians. Rules for holy living. Should really be instructions for holy living. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts, your thoughts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. See how practical these statements are for life. Sometimes we read those things, oh, that's nice. Yeah, I think about Jesus. But these words are literally life and death if you understand how they work in your life. And these words were spoken by God through the Holy Spirit, through men, and written as instructions for life. Because God knows our hearts. He knows how they work. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. See, this whole thing of being crucified with Christ, our identity with him, it is so powerful, but we have to implement it into our lives. And we must be born again. So we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he died for our sins. We accept that. You must be born of the Spirit and of water. Water is water baptism, which is a pledge of a good conscience before God. See, we can have a new birth and not the pledge of a good conscience. We can be born again, but water baptism says, no, Jesus, I died, I was crucified with you, I was raised to newness of life, and I commit to live this new life before you. That's what water baptism is symbolic of. It's a circumcision of the heart. I'm not going to live that old life no more. I'm going to live this new one. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Wow, greed is idolatry. Evil desires is idolatry. If you love any of that stuff more than Jesus, you ain't gonna make it. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Don't live the way you used to live. Live this new life now by faith and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Set your mind on things above, on God's way, the narrow gate. the straight way, the high road. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcision or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's the fruit of the Spirit that you have in your born-again spirit. Start wearing that. Start putting that on. Put it on your life. Start acting that. Start confessing that. I'm a child of God. I have all the patience I need. I have all the self-control I need. I have all the love I need for that ugly person. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. See, love is that homeostasis principle of God. And the stronger we get in love, then that love that's in our heart, which comes from our spirit, through that experience of loving our enemies, that keeps our life steady and stable. And that becomes a homeostasis principle within our life, where our anger doesn't get out of whack. Like, we have changed. That love has literally, it's a spiritual force, through that experience has become part of our heart. And whatever we've grown, we can keep our growth because of that sacrificial love. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. We can still get angry, but now we can control it because our love is stronger. Isn't that amazing? Our hearts are created this way, and love is the answer. That's why I teach the foundational principles of Christian life, even before I read this. Always forgive, always walk in love, and righteousness by faith. Righteousness by faith gives us all that we have and who we are in Christ, a revelation and understanding of grace. To the degree that we have a revelation of righteousness by faith, to that degree, our hearts can accept all of those things. Because our heart wants to say the same, because it's got this homeostasis principle without the love of God in it. It doesn't want to change. And so it's a revelation of righteousness by faith, so that our heart can accept everything that Jesus has done for us. And then forgiving people from the heart, not just lip service, so that the anger, the bitterness, the hurts are released from our heart. And then walking in sacrificial love, so that our hearts will change and they will stay changed because we keep that love strong. Three foundational principles of Christian life, which is really how to change the subconscious mind. You can be whoever you want to be. Why? Because Jesus has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Time's done again. Well, I'll continue with this next week and finish this up. I have some other things here. You can go on the internet and look up the subconscious mind and all the different things it says and just apply it to your heart. And you get to understand yourself better, because these are the root problems we have in our life, plus the bad habits that we formed. And one thing they say here about programming your subconscious mind, see, the world's way is we're going to program it differently. Well, we're going to reprogram it with the Word of God. But what they say is here that the subconscious mind, or the heart, learns by repetition, not by logic. Think about that. See, logically, spiritually, we can understand what Jesus did for us. But repeating it over and over and living it and repeating that lifestyle over and over, now my heart's going to change. See, this is why we teach on the heart, because it gets the message from our head, our logic, to experiencing God in our hearts. And then we never lose our first love. And we change and we stay changed and we keep changing from glory to glory. But the heart is wants to stay the way it is with all of this, plus all our bad habits, whatever has happened to us, our hurts. Doesn't want to forgive because it wants justice, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So it is programmed this way. It has a homeostasis principle that it wants to stay that way. It does not want to change. So just by constant, although you can understand it with your head, your heart's still not going to change. It's by constant, repetitive, repeating the word of God, this word shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. And be careful to do all that it says, and then you will be successful. Then the blessings of God will overtake you. And I've always said, everybody wants the blessings, but they don't want to live the life because it's demanding. But we can do it. It's worth fighting for. It's worth the battle. Because then your whole life will depend on it, and your eternal destiny will depend on it. The problem with this old self is that people are under so much pressure in our society and so busy, they don't have time to change and don't want to change. It's too hard. I don't want to live at that level. I just want to go to church, sing some songs and put some money in the offering and sing in a choir even and soothe my conscience to know that I've done something for God. They don't say that, but that's basically the way their heart is thinking. I'll take some religion and do the right thing, but don't force me to change. But we teach at the 80, 90, 100-fold return. And so that's why I know you all have a good heart, because you're still here. But we have to understand grace. We're already accepted. But see, and I always said even 30 years ago when I started teaching this stuff, if they would do what it takes to change, that they would force, your whole life, your eternal destiny depends on it. I don't care how busy you are. Forget busy. Forget all those things you got to do and spend some time with God, some quality time. You're better off to spend 2 weeks with God than go and spend $3,000 on a holiday, which isn't going to change you. It'll only make you worse. But if you work this into your life and actually bring those changes, now you're good for the rest of your life and you keep changing and you're good for eternity. Make your calling and election all the more sure. There's a prize in heaven for you. God's got a plan for your life. There's a seat at the table. And nobody can take it from you. All you can do is lose it. Wow, wow, wow. I'm just so blessed to know Jesus, to be born again. It's like when I first had the revelation of it. What, Jesus is in me? He actually lives in me? I have his character. I'm a child of God. Oh, man, this is awesome. You never want to lose that feeling. And the word should just bring that alive every time. You know, if I don't get in the word for a couple days, I get back in the word, wow, everything just comes alive. When I start teaching, it just comes alive. And it's hard to shut me up. You're looking at your watch, okay, I'm going to shut up. But it's good to hear words of life. But you realize when you read the Bible and you understand how your heart works, your subconscious mind, these literally are words of life. They are so important. Ancient words, ever true. Wow, changing me and changing you. The power of the word mixed with the relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit working in your life. And he's perfected you forever while you're being made holy. Only God could think of this. And the wisest men in the world don't get it. I don't care how much they understand the subconscious mind, they still don't understand Jesus. And if they'd read the parable of the sower alone, you think these psychiatrists would catch on that he's talking about the subconscious mind. Because they talk about planting seeds in the mind and all this stuff. But they're so well learned that they don't need God, I guess, because they know everything. And that's what happens in the natural world. They have all this wisdom from learning and books and knowledge and everything else, but they've never experienced God because they're smart within themselves. Scary thought. God gives grace to the humble. Father, we thank you. Thank you for such an awesome plan. Father, the way you've created us and created our hearts in line with your kingdom and your ways and the principles of your kingdom so that we can experience you and your kingdom and the blessings and the benefits of your kingdom and how you live by applying these things to our hearts. And you've given us the Holy Spirit to help us to do this. And you've given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Oh, Father, what a plan, what a plan. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We glorify you this morning for this awesome thing that you have done, bringing us into your family through Jesus. Jesus, thank you for dying for us, that all of this could become real to us, that we could have the kingdom within us, have you and the Father in us, the Holy Spirit in us, fellowshipping with us in our hearts, revealing yourself to us through these principles as we live them. Jesus, the simplest stories you told are so profound when we come to understand our own hearts and your kingdom and how it works in our lives. And yet, it's so easy to understand for a 10-year-old or a 3-year-old even, once we understand you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your grace, Father. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. We give you all the praise and honor and glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Sylvia told me this morning about, Gloria, find that scripture you were going to read. Sylvia told me this morning about a 76-year-old lady that Samantha got born again, and she's so excited. The lady. Sylvia is too, but it's nice to see somebody at that age come to the Lord and get so excited because they finally found truth. Gloria's got a quick scripture she's going to read for us.